Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I'm sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favour you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Richard. Let us pray. Father God, as we come to look at this book in the Bible, it's only one page in our Bibles, but there's so much in there for us to that is relevant to us today. I pray that you will give us open ears, open hearts, and open minds to hear what you have to say to each one of us this evening. Amen. You might find it helpful to have the passage in front of you. It's page 1200 in the Church Bibles. Philemon, it's one of those books in the Bible that often gets overlooked, as Roz said. It's one of the smallest. Only two of John's letters are shorter. And I don't know about you, but it takes me longer to find it than it does to read it. But it's a great letter from Paul. It's personal, but very relevant to us today. It's a letter that shows us how to live as Christians, and as we'll see, what our relationships should be like. This letter to Philemon is one of a small group of personal letters that Paul wrote. They're grouped together include 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. All of Paul's teaching letters were sent to churches in cities or provinces, but these four letters are directed to specific individuals, and they give us a more personal view of Paul in everyday life. Paul wrote the letter to Philemon in approximately 57 to 60 AD, which was probably during his first imprisonment in Rome. The letter was written about the same time as he wrote to the churches in Ephesus and Colossae. And in Colossians, we also meet Onesimus, when Paul tells the church in chapter 4, verse 9, that Onesimus will be returning to Colossae. So from this, we know that Philemon is a member of the church in Colossae. The letter is addressed to him, his wife Apphia, and Archippus, who scholars argue whether it was the son or another influential member in the local church. The letter is also addressed to the church that meets in Philemon's home. But it's a personal letter to Philemon. It is written in the singular person. Paul is addressing Philemon directly, but by making the copy list wider, he's also making sure that the church know what the issue is and the challenge that Philemon is facing. The subject of the letter is a runaway slave named Onesimus, who had apparently stolen some money or something of worth from Philemon, his master. He'd fled to Rome, where he could disappear into the large population and not easily be found. However, somewhere on his travels, he meets Paul, and his life is turned around, because more importantly, he heard about Jesus and became a Christian. And we find him now working alongside Paul in Rome. And as we see in the letter, Paul really valued him for this. But even if Paul had wanted to keep Onesimus, he knew he couldn't, because Onesimus was a slave and belonged to Philemon. So before we continue looking at the passage, I just want to spend a few moments just looking at the issue of slavery at this time. In Paul's time, slavery was taken for granted. It was part of everyday life. There are around 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire. Even those who were well-educated, doctors, teachers, even civil servants could be a slave. Possessions of their owners who had total control over their lives. Those who ran away were captured and punished. Sometimes they were in prison, other times they were branded with the letter F, which is the Latin fugitivus, that's how you say it, which is the Latin for fugitive or runaway. It's a situation that we see Christians campaigning to abolish in the 19th century. And indeed, some say that this letter helped lay the foundations of the abolition of slavery years later. But at this time, Paul isn't calling for the abolition of slavery. He doesn't even say it's wrong for one person to own another. What he wants is these two people to be reconciled. He wants them to change the way they are to each other. Throughout his letters, Paul teaches that Christianity changes society. It changes attitudes. How can one person own another when we're all equal in God's eyes? In his letter to the Colossians in chapter 3, Paul talks about how slaves and masters should behave. That they should show Christian principles in the way they interact with each other. To slaves, he says, work with the sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. And to masters, he says, provide for your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. It's about changing individual behaviours and relationships between each other. It's about doing everything as if you are doing it for the Lord, not for the person who owned you if you're a slave. And for the master, it's about remembering that we have a master in heaven, remembering how he treats us, and that we should be living in a way that God would want us to. So as we turn back to the passage, we will see Philemon is being challenged to change his behaviour and his whole viewpoint in light of the change in Onesimus. Paul knows that Onesimus has to return to Philemon. He can't stay hiding away in Rome. And this isn't because Paul wants to see Onesimus punished, but as Christians, he wanted to see Onesimus and Philemon reconciled, both to each other and to God. So Paul sends a letter ahead of Onesimus to explain to Philemon what has happened to him, and that he'll be returning to Philemon, and that Philemon should welcome him back, not punish him for returning. So Paul starts his letter with a greeting. Now, if you look at most of his letters, he starts by referring to himself as an apostle or servant of Christ. But in this letter to Philemon, he describes himself as a prisoner. From the beginning, it's clear that this is a personal letter. He starts his letter as a friend writing to a friend. He graciously and tactfully expresses his thanksgiving for Philemon and the faithful way he is serving Jesus. He's opened his home to be a meeting place for Christians. He actively shares his faith and loves and cares for others. Paul tells Philemon that he prays for him. He prays that Philemon will continue to do these things so that he can come to know Jesus better. Paul is just laying the foundations, reminding Philemon what it means to be a Christian. You could argue that Paul is simply buttering up Philemon before dropping the bombshell about Onesimus. But Paul wasn't like that. He wasn't afraid to tell it how it was or deliver bad news. At the start of Galatians, Paul wastes no time in telling them that he is astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. No, Paul is simply reminding Philemon of his faith in Jesus and how his life is in Christ. Do you find that sometimes you need to be reminded of how God has been in your life, how you are blessed in all sorts of ways? I find it so encouraging when someone reminds me or gives me a word of encouragement, telling me they're praying for me, particularly if I'm facing a tricky situation or a challenging time. And that's what Paul is doing here. He is giving Philemon an encouraging word or two before revealing the reason for writing. It takes him 10 verses to reveal the purpose of this letter. In a letter of 25 verses, that's quite a way in. I remember being told at work that if you had to give someone some bad news or some feedback that something hasn't been done the way you'd wanted or deadlines have been missed, etc., you should do it in the form of a praise sandwich. You start by saying something positive. Then comes the constructive criticism or negative feedback or the tough message you've got to give. And then always finish with something positive. And I've realised in reading this letter, that's exactly what Paul's doing here. He's giving Philemon a praise sandwich. And now we come to the filling. Paul chooses not to demand anything of Philemon. He appeals to him on the basis of love. The Greek word bold here means to speak with frankness or openness, to speak freely about difficult matters. But Paul chooses not to do this. He wants Philemon to make the decision about how he behaves himself. He wants him to choose how he reacts to the news and not be told what he should do. Paul tells Philemon what has happened to Onesimus, that through meeting him, he's become a Christian. He has met Jesus and changed his life. I love the next bit, a moment of humour in the letter, perhaps to make Philemon smile as he takes in the news that his runaway slave has been found. The name Onesimus means useful. In stealing from his master and running away, Onesimus has become useless. But Paul is playing on words. What he's really saying is that before Onesimus knew Jesus and chose to follow him, he was useless. Now, as a Christian, he is useful. Verse 11 reminds us of the transforming power of the gospel. Onesimus has repented and turned from his old life and turned to God. in returning to Philemon, he could be useful in working in the household, but even greater, he would be useful as a witness to others, showing how his life has changed once he became a Christian and in spreading the good news. Indeed, Paul says that he would like to keep Onesimus with him to help spread the gospel whilst he's in prison. But it's more than that. In verse 12, Paul says, "I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you." Now, the word that Paul uses for heart here isn't the common one, but it's one that means internal organs, the inner core. It indicates an affection, an intimacy, deep love and respect. Paul is not a detached arbiter in this situation. He has a close relationship with Onesimus. How easy would it have been to keep quiet and not let Philemon know that he'd even met Onesimus? But Paul knew he couldn't do this. Legally, Onesimus was owned by Philemon, and Paul wanted Philemon to choose what happened to him. In verse 15, Paul suggests that Onesimus running away was part of God's sovereignty over the situation. A reminder to us that even in difficult times, God is there. Here was an opportunity for the relationship to be changed forever. That Onesimus returning, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. His time away from Philemon has changed Onesimus forever. Like Philemon, he is now a brother in Christ. Whilst it's very clear what Paul is hoping Philemon will do, he doesn't instruct Philemon. His careful choice of words, no longer as a slave, gives Philemon some wriggle room should he choose not to set Onesimus free. Paul reminds Philemon that Onesimus would be doubly useful to him if he goes home, as a man, as someone to help in the household, and as a brother, a fellow Christian spreading the good news. And then comes the crunch. Paul asks Philemon to welcome Onesimus back as he would welcome Paul, a partner in Christ. In Roman law, there was a clause known as advocacy. If a slave escaped, he could return to his master and be protected if he used an advocate or mediator. This would often be a close friend of the master, and if the master looked with favour on the word of the advocate, the slave would be allowed to return home unpunished. And sometimes, because of the love and respect for the advocate, the slave would be adopted into the family. And this seems to be what Paul is referring to in verses 17 to 19. He is speaking on behalf of Onesimus. Paul shows the seriousness of his request. He writes this letter in his own hand, or at least this part of it. And this was incredibly unusual. We know that Paul had a physical disability, and many scholars argue it was something to do with his sight. So the vast majority of Paul's letters were dictated by Paul, but written by someone else. But Paul is making a personal guarantee that if Onesimus owes anything, Philemon is to charge it to him. Paul, an impoverished prisoner, is making this offer to the incredibly wealthy Philemon. But he wants there to be no barrier to Philemon welcoming Onesimus back and forgiving him for what he has done. Paul also reminds Philemon that it was through Paul's ministry that he also came to know Jesus. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. What Philemon owes Paul is his eternal life, because it was through Paul that he became a Christian. Something of much greater worth than whatever Onesimus had stolen from him. So whilst not ordering Philemon the way he should behave, he's very clearly showing him the way he should behave. Whilst giving him the space to make the decision for himself whether to take Onesimus back. And then Paul encourages Philemon to make the right decision. In verse 20, "I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask." Here, Paul is using humour again. The word benefit is another play on the name Onesimus. And again, Paul is using the word for heart, is that of the very core of his being. He's encouraging Philemon to recognise what Jesus has done in his life, how he has changed his life and that of Onesimus. And to forgive Onesimus for stealing and running away is nothing compared to what Jesus did for us on the cross. Some scholars argue that Paul's saying to Philemon that he is confident he will do more than he asks is his way of hinting that Philemon should set Onesimus free. But others say it was a plea to send Onesimus back to Paul to help him spread the gospel whilst he was in prison. Perhaps, like the rest of the letter, it's Paul's way of giving Philemon space to choose what to do, but in a way that encourages Philemon to do the right thing. The final bit of the praise sandwich, Paul's delivered his tough request, but he ends by saying he has every confidence that Philemon will do the right thing. And Paul ends his letter with an, oh, and another thing. You can just imagine Philemon reading this for the first time and thinking, oh, what now? It's simply that Paul is asking for a guest room to be ready for him to come and visit. Perhaps a way of saying to Philemon, whatever you decide, I will still be there for you. Now, we don't know what happens next. It'd be nice to have Philemon chapter 2, where we discover what happened when Onesimus returned to Philemon. But unfortunately, we don't. But this letter gives us lots of food for thought about how we treat each other and how relationships are transformed by knowing Jesus. Paul starts his letter reminding Philemon of his faith and how encouraged he is in hearing what Philemon is doing in sharing the good news. Is that how we are with each other? Do we take time to encourage each other in faith? Do we simply remind each other of how blessed we are, what God has done in our lives, how we can see God in someone else's life? I'd like to encourage you to become an encourager. Tell someone what you love about their faith, how they show others Christian love, and why they are an encouragement to you. The next bit's a harder bit. There are times when we need to talk to a Christian friend about something in their life that isn't quite right with God. There's so much we can learn from this letter. When a friend needs help and guidance, do we try and solve it for them or tell them what to do? Or do we simply remind them of what God would want, what the right way to behave is, and leave it to them to make the choice? I don't know about you, but I know which one I'm tempted to do. And it's quite a challenge not to leap in and say, oh, you should do this or say that. But what we are reminded here is that we all have choices and decisions. And God wants us to freely follow him, to freely choose the right path and not have it forced upon us. The underlying theme in this letter is about forgiveness. And I must admit, when I started out on this sermon, I thought that's what the main thing I'd be talking about. In accepting Onesimus back, Paul is asking Philemon to forgive him for what he has done. But this letter is so much more than that. But it's still worth looking at this issue of forgiveness. It's hard when we've been wrong to forgive another person, especially if they're a Christian. I know I always feel worse when I'm hurt by another Christian than when someone who isn't. In asking Philemon to take Onesimus back as a brother and reminding Philemon that as a Christian he will have eternal life because of Jesus' death on the cross, whatever Onesimus had done is small in comparison. Because of the cross, all our sins have been forgiven. We have to be able to forgive those who hurt us. Easier said than done, I know. But if there is someone who has hurt you, can I encourage you to forgive them? Forgive them in your heart, in the very core of yourself. If you find that hard to do on your own, maybe talk to someone who can then pray with you or help you find a way to talk to the person who has hurt you. In this letter, Paul is reminding Philemon and us what it is to live a Christian life. By accepting Onesimus back into his household, not only without punishment, but as a brother in Christ, Philemon would have been sending a clear and strong message to those who knew him. We don't know what he did. But what we do know is that following Jesus transforms lives. Onesimus went from being useless to useful. How useful are we as Christians? Have we let Jesus transform our lives and our relationships? If you haven't, then again, can I encourage you to let him? Reread this letter and think about how it applies in your life and relationships. Is there someone you have wronged who you need to seek forgiveness from? Or do you need to forgive someone who is hurting you? Do you encourage other Christians? Have you let Jesus change you from within? Change your heart? If you haven't, perhaps it's time to let him. But how do we do that? Well, reading the Bible is a wonderful way to understand what God wants for us. But I find it easier when I can also talk to someone about it. So going to a life group is a great way to do that. Or sign up for the Christianity Explored course in October. Allowing God to change us from within changes our hearts and minds. It changes our attitudes and our actions. We no longer just think about ourselves and what we want in life, but we think about whether our words and actions bring God glory. If that is at the heart of our thinking, the way we live, then all our relationships will be transformed. Let us pray. Lord, we come before you now. We may be feeling let down or hurt. But Lord, may we take the words in this letter and let them transform our relationships. Help us to remember to encourage one another in our faith, recognizing your gifts in those around us. Help us end broken relationships, either by seeking forgiveness or forgiving someone who has hurt us. Lord, may your word transform us so that we think about what you would want us to do and say, that our actions and words may have an impact on those around us, our friends, families, work colleagues, especially those who do not know you, that they may see a difference in us and want to know more about you because of it. Lord, help us always to choose the right thing to say and do, that which is your will. Amen.